Well, God has been just so good to us.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Turn, if you will, in your Bibles. Acts chapter 1. It's good to see you guys today. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. By the way, last Sunday, I forgot to announce, was my 20th anniversary. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And just last month, I got a little 18-year-old girl, right? She's precious. She's intelligent, right? She's available, right? She's got one more year of high school, but you might put it on your calendar. All right. Man, don't you love the Bible? Verse 1 of Acts chapter 1. The former treaty have I made, O Theopolis, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day that he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom, here we go, to whom he showed himself alive after his passion, by many infallible proofs. Amen. Being seen of them 40 days and speaking things pertaining to the kingdom of God. I like the way the Bible talks. They were infallible proofs. They were not just convincing proofs. They were not just, whoa, that's pretty good proof. Well, I almost believe that because it's kind of good proof. This is an infallible proof. So I got my 1828 Webster's dictionary out. I said, let me make sure I know what infallible means. Yep. Without the possibility of error or mistake. Without the possibility. No possibility of error or mistake. Amen. Now look at Luke chapter 1. You know, the Bible just talks that way. That's not the first time or the only place. And in Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 1, listen to what God says. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order, a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us from the beginning, which are eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. It seemed good to me also, having had, well, that's something you'd like to have, right, Billy? Perfect understanding, right? Having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things which thou hast been instructed. That thou mightest know the certainty. I mean, certainty. I love that. You know, this is, you know, the Bible doesn't just talk like this in the New Testament. That's the Old Testament. God's always talked this way. Go back to Proverbs chapter 21. I know it's my wife's Bible, but I'm pretty sure it's in here. Oh, yeah. Proverbs 21 and verse 20. No, that's not it. It's not 21:20. I have no idea where it is, but is it?
22:21.
Depends on what you're trying to say. Yep. Oh, there it is. That I make thee know the certainty of the words of truth, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that sent me. You know, God's word, you can be certain about the things that you read. But you know, what do you mean by that? I was thinking about this. So what can I know for certain? What kind of things do you know for certain? Robert? Are you certain that you're married? I mean, like, you weren't always married. There was a day when you were not married. Then another day you are. Are you certain you're married?
Yeah.
That's certain. That's certain. Right. But what makes you, what do you mean? What do you mean when you say, I know for certain? I mean, how do you know? I mean, what happened? What's the process? What's the feeling? When I say I know something, what does that mean, really? Well, is it based on experience? Is it based on your senses? The sky is blue, right? Because I see it. I mean, it's plain. I know the sky is blue, except it's cloudy, all right? But if it's sunny, it's a blue sky. Or is it your reason? 2 + 2 = 4. I know that. I know that. I can reason it out. I can prove it. Is knowing 100% the same thing as believing 100%? Say, I know something is true because I believe something is true. Can you say that? Well, when I began to look at the relationship between these two words, I was drawn to Mark in chapter 2. Let's go there real fast. A verse that came to my mind was verse 10, I think. Oh, yes. Just a verse that comes out of the story, the healing of the paralytic man. But that thou may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith unto sick of the palsy, and it goes on. But Jesus here says, you can know something that is not physical. You can know it.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah? What kind of spiritual truth then can you know? Can you know your sins are forgiven? I mean, really, can you say that? You know, I know. And you really mean it. It's not a doctrine taught within the assembly, but you know in yourself, in your mind, you know. Are you saved, Corey? Oh yeah, he's nodding his head already. Yeah, I know I'm saved. Are you sure? Yeah. God said it's possible to know this spiritual truth. When God says you can know, then you can know. We need to, what struck me or got me pointed in this direction is how we need to align ourselves with the Word of God. In our speech, right? In the way we live, in the way we talk. We need to align ourselves with the way God speaks. This is true, so we need to believe it's true. We need to speak like it's true. And it doesn't really matter what the world has to say about it. It's true. It's right. I know I'm saved. All right. Let's read through this particular story. We'll start in verse 1. And I think you'll see what I mean when I'm done. And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house, as Jesus in the house. And straightway there were many gathered together, insomuch as there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come bringing one of the palsy, which was born of 4. And when they could not come nigh for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when he had broken it up, he let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts. And Jesus knew what was in their hearts, didn't he? Why does this man speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said, why reason these things in your heart? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk? I want to stop the story there because I want you to consider the question. Which is easier to say? Well, of course, thy sins be forgiven thee. Right? Because where's the evidence? Where's the proof? I mean, anybody could stand up and say, your sins be forgiven thee. This is the way the Pharisee, this is the way the natural mind was thinking. There was no visible, there was no infallible proof. I tell you what, what's impossible to say. Rise up, take up thy bed and walk. That's the impossible thing. To the Pharisees, the hardest thing, the impossible thing was rise up, take up thy bed and walk. Well, to say, your sins be forgiven thee, that's a simple thing. Anybody can do that. Can say it. But Jesus used this circumstance and situation to teach us a lesson about knowing those things that are believed. And what I mean by that is, let's keep going down through verse 13, verse 10. But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way unto thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all. Insomuch they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it in this fashion. And he went forth again by the seaside, and all the multitudes resulted unto him, and he taught them. Jesus did the impossible thing. He did the hardest thing that was possible. And just a question, why did Jesus do this miracle? That ye may know. Now, as far as benefiting the man with palsy, may have done it for his sake too. Certainly he benefited. But the reason this miracle, and this is true for miracles, you should look for the purpose behind them. What is the purpose behind it? And the reason he did this miracle, the purpose of it, was to show men and women that they can know what can only be known by faith. Just, you know, it's funny. When I think about the world and the witnessing, and you begin to talk to people about the Lord, and you say, this is true, and this is true, and this, and you're arguing back and forth. The second you say, yeah, Jesus healed, they saw it, they witness it, and they'll agree. Okay, yes, he did. And Jesus has the power on earth to forgive sins. I'm sorry, you can know one, but you cannot know the other. That's not right. And when the world speaks to us as if that is true, and it does, we need to stand firm against it. We recognize that, yes, they knew. They knew they could see the healing of the paralytic man. That made sense to them. They could see it with their own eyes. It was their own experience. They could reason it out that this miracle took place. But the reason that miracle is there is so that they would also know. It was also possible. It was in their ability to see the spiritual. The Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Why in the world do we let the world redefine what we can do, what we can't do? What we know and what we can't know? Why do we reason with them as if they have some secret hold or grasp on what can be known? What is true? No, listen. Don't you see these Pharisees? They saw, these scribes, they saw with their own eyes. And so they knew some things were true. They could see, it was part of their senses, just like the world is based on what they know by their senses and so on. But they could also know that Jesus Christ had power on earth to forgive sins. The basis was established. And because Jesus did the impossible, they could believe by faith. And when they talked about it, Jesus said they could speak with the words, not just believe, but know.
That's right.
When we argue or debate or witness, have you ever told someone, I know I'm saved.
Amen.
I know I'm going to heaven. Have you ever told someone that?
Yeah. Amen.
And what is the answer you get back?
You can't know.
You can't know. Maybe you don't know because of what you believe, but I know because, like these scribes and Pharisees, I've been in the presence, I've seen what's done, and yes, I can know. Now, maybe I reject it, and I don't want to know, and I don't want to see it. There may be all kinds of reasons I may not know, but it's not because I cannot know. I can. That's why Jesus did this miracle. That's why it's here in this book. Jesus does things, infallible things, convincing things, fully persuadable things, so that we can know for sure. We need to be a people that live and talk and witness like we know for sure. When the guy says, you can't know that, he's wrong. We can know. You know, considering considering why sometimes we don't know. We have doubts maybe. Maybe this guy's right. Maybe how can I know I'm saved? I mean, can I really know I'm saved? I know my thoughts, I know my heart. Can I really know I'm saved? Like I know I'm married. Like I know my birthday's on November 3rd. Like I know my daughter's 18. Can I really know? I think the problem is found and we really don't know the Word of God itself. We don't read. We don't look enough. So, we don't know the character of God. We don't know enough about Him. We don't know enough about Christ. We don't know enough about the way they think. And so we find ourselves sometimes in arguments or reasoning within our mind about things that we should know, but we don't, simply because we haven't looked. We haven't looked where the truth is. We haven't looked for the answers in the book. Now, there's still a lot of questions, as we saw in Sunday school this morning, you're going to be wrestling about. And God doesn't say you will have perfect understanding, perfect knowledge about everything. There's room for diversity. Well, maybe I shouldn't use that word. There's room for differences. This is America. It's America, all right. There's room for differences of opinion. But on some things, there is not room. The Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. It is not up for debate. It is certain. You can be sure. It's infallible proof right here. He raised this paralytic up off his bed. Impossible. We don't know his promises like we should. Brother, you're going to heaven?
Amen.
How do you know? Right? You can't know that. Nobody knows. There's a great white throne judgment. We're all going to stand there. Or we're going to be judged, you know. And the bad guys are going to go to the other place. And the good guys are going to the good place. And depend on where that needle is. Well, you know, we'll probably be all right. You're better than 50%, right? Yeah, I think so too. So my chances are good. But you can't know. You cannot know. Doggone, that devil is a liar. I get so frustrated with these guys when they say, Steve, you can't know, but I do. But I do know. I can't deny what God has promised to me. I can't deny these things. Yeah, whatever. I do know. Be nice. Just frustrating after a while. Just frustrating. Well, what kind of things can you know for certain? With 100% certainty. I'll just talk about a few. Well, we can know some spiritual things, for certain by faith. Knowing and believing are not necessarily contradictory. Huh? They are not necessary. Now, they might be. They might be. If I believe I have $100 in my wallet, and I get to the cash register, and I have no money in my wallet, because my daughter opened my wallet and took it out with her, you know, when she's going downtown. Yeah. So knowing and believing are a little bit different in that case. But it's not always contradictory. It's not always. I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins. I believe that he was in the grave for 3 days. And on the third day, he rose again for my justification. They do not have to be contradictory. Billy answered a question Wednesday night. I believe it was Wednesday. That had to do with Matthew 18:20. And it was a verse on where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. And it had to do with this individual had looked at that verse and said, well, this context is a special context, and so this verse cannot mean or does not mean what people say it does. Your answer was excellent. Yes, it does mean what it says. It means exactly what it says. All right? And it's true in this context. But it's also true in that context, and that context, and that context, and that context. People set up a black and white way of thinking that's not always true. Steve, I was asked, are you a Calvinist or an Arminian? I remember the question. Thought about it and I said, I'm not a Calvinist. I'm not an Arminian. I said, I'm a Bible believer.
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
Don't get caught up in the fallacy, is it this or that? Unless God specifically says it's this or that. Like salvation. 1 John 5:11-13, who can quote it? And this is the record. Yes, Janice.
Yeah, the 13th.
You said it real fast. And this is the record that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. It's black and white. You're in or out. When God says it's black and white, it's black and white. It's also possible to know that God answers prayer. 1 John 5, ooh, this could be tough. 16 or 17? Anybody looking? 1 John 5, verse 17, maybe 16.
16.
16? What does it say?
No, not 16.
Oh. 14? 15? All right, so I tricked you. It's 14, all right?
13. These things that are written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life.
Right, go ahead. Continue. Go.
That you may believe on the name of the Son of God.
Go.
And this is the confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hears us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him.
That's a lot of knowing. That's a lot of knowing. We know that if we ask anything according to God's will, he heareth us. And we know that if he hears us, we have the petitions we ask of him. He said, well, God, I've asked lots of things that God didn't answer. Yes, he did. He just said no. You can know a lot of things. Did you know that all things work together for good? To them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. You'd rest a lot easier at nighttime. You would rest a lot easier as you look to the future. You would rest a lot easier if you just trusted God enough to know all things work together for good. You say, well, this one thing, little piece right here, it didn't work so good. It wasn't very nice. Yes, okay, granted. Bad things happen to good people. But it works together for good. Look at Jeremiah, and I'll finish on this. I have no idea where I am here. Maybe this page. Oh, there it is. Yeah, Jeremiah 29:10. I know this is written to the Jews. Ooh, I know the time frame that it happened. I know the circumstances under which he said this. But I also know that this is God's character. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not evil. To give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
I'm going to go ahead and end on that point. And just to say, learn the things that God wants you to know.
Amen.
It'll take some faith. You can't know some things except by faith. But by faith, you can know some things.
Thank you, Lord.
Read your Bible. You'll be a better servant and a better child of God for Jesus' sake.
Praise the Lord.
He's good.
Amen. Let's go ahead and stand. We're going to sing number 208. Here's some things we can...